This is TWiT.
As you hear each and every week on the show, we talk about data breaches, cyber attacks, privacy issues. Now, organizations know that they are going to hit these things quite often, and it's inevitable, right? Now, to prepare for that and to produce, they basically produce expensive data migration plans, securing data. They want to make sure they're alerting to issues and ensure that they really have the right systems in place. But what they also do is they want to make sure that they're covered, just in case there isn't a breach or attack. Well, this story that we're talking about today calls out a well-known food brand called Mondelez Company, which is actually the owner of a dozen food companies like Cadbury Chocolate and Philadelphia Cream Cheese. Now, this company was struck by the NotPetya cyberstrike in 2017. And their business was put to halt, causing them to lose more than $100 million. Now, what made them feel better about the whole ordeal? Well, they were insured, right? That must make them feel better. That's right, good old liability insurance. But when they tried to exercise it, they were blocked by the insurance company, who used a loophole in the clause in their clause, saying that they are exercising their war exclusion protocol or clause. Which protects the insurer from being put up with costs related to the damage from war. Now, that's right. They were collateral damage in war. In this case, cyber war. Now, was the insurance company in the right? Now, NotPetya did cause more than $700 million damage worldwide that we know about. Now, how do they classify this as an act of war? Well, according to them, in a statement in 2018, the White House actually described NotPetya as part of the Kremlin's ongoing effort to destabilize Ukraine, and it said it had demonstrated ever more clearly Russia's involvement in the ongoing conflict. So that's kind of how they got around it, and they're bringing it to court. Now there's a suit on it. Now I want to throw it to you guys. I want to start with you, Kurt. What do you guys think? Was this really an act of war? Can they really classify it like this? Is it really a way for them to get out of this type of insurance?
Well, can they classify it like this? They can certainly try. As in so many of these things, I suspect that the next step will be the ceremonial throwing of lawyers at one another. but I think that what we have is one of those cases where we find out that words matter. You know, as has been pointed out, previous administrations went to great pains not to describe cyber attacks as being any part of a cyber war. And they went to great pains to paint it in non-military and non-warlike terms. That has not been the case in the last couple of years. And as we've seen the rhetoric ratchet up, insurance companies and others are looking at that rhetoric and seeing what legal impact it could have. So I think this is one of those cases where the urge to justify actions on a political basis are going to have some significant economic ramifications for companies who feel like they should be protected from these things.
Chibert, I want to throw this to you. What do you think? I mean, do you think that this is something that insurance companies should be able to do? Hey, if you're paying for cyber coverage in this case, a lot of them are really kind of narrowly written to kind of relate to customer data loss, and some of them just provide like credit check or cover legal bills, but they don't really recover costs. Should they be able to get out of it by saying, hey, this was war, this is war? I mean, they can basically classify that in any ways.
Well, I don't have a problem with the War Exclusion Act piece itself. You know, insurance and thing, you know, insurance coverage is not a mutual destruction pact. So if we go back to the Blitz in London, insurance companies, Lloyd's of London actually, was unable to fulfill their, you know, fiduciary duties to provide rebuilding money for every case during the Blitz, because they had an official act of war. You know, Great Britain was at war with the Axis powers. The problem I have with this is there has been no official act of war. I definitely agree with the previous administration on staying away from using war terms. I'm not real happy with this current administration on pulling the trigger on that and actually using it. Here's a comment from Jake Alcott, the vice president of BitSight Technologies. We still don't have a clear idea of what cyber warfare actually looks like. That is one of the struggles in this case. No one has said that this was an all-out cyber war by Russia or China or North Korea or whatever. This is not – the world is changing, and the insurance company – in this case, I'm going to actually name and shame Zurich Insurance, looked for a loophole. And they decided, no, we're not going to go bankrupt. Because if we cover this company for that $100 million, what's to prevent others? Right. I don't think it was right. I don't blame them for not falling on a grenade, so to speak. but I think there's going to need to be some middle ground. Cyber insurance needs to be payable, but cyber insurance isn't a mutual destruction pact.
Right. I think that brings me to the next question. I'll throw this to Curtis. Curtis, what do you think? Now, there's a lot of cyber – if I go search online right now, I can find a bunch of companies that are offering cyber insurance. Does this kind of deem them useless in the future? I mean, obviously, they all have probably similar clauses. Should companies really be leaning on this at all for just protection?
Well, I think that companies must have cyber insurance. I think that in today's atmosphere, if they had any kind of incident, did not have the cyber insurance, they would face massive shareholder revolt and shareholder lawsuits. But I think that what we need to do, and I think what this will begin, is a series of negotiations about what precisely cyber warfare looks like. As Brian says, we don't know right now. We have some ideas. Does the mere participation of a group associated with a nation state mean that it is warfare? That's where we sort of boil things down. And we don't know yet. Courts are going to weigh in, international courts. International insurance law is a dramatic and complex thing. So this is not going to be solved anytime soon. What I do think we're going to need to do is watch the way words are used, because this is one of those great illustrations. Like I said, words matter. And the use of one word over another has consequences in the real world, some of which can cost real money.
That's right. Words do matter.